Well, amen. We are delighted to be with you folks this morning. Again, my name is Brother Caleb Gutierrez, and I have my family with me, my wife Erica, and our four children, Elijah, Audrey, Anna, and Amelia. And you say, wow, that's a mouthful. It is, and I've had several years of practice, and sometimes I still don't call them by the right names, amen, but I might forget one or mix them up, but praise the Lord, we are going to the island of Puerto Rico, and we are leaving November the 5th, and so we are just very anxious to get there. Praise the Lord, we're about a little over 80% of the support we need, but we're just trusting the Lord for the remainder of that in these next, next month, month and a half that's there as we finish up the last of our meetings. And then we are going back to Arkansas. We are sent out of Gospel Light Baptist Church in Rogers there, northwest Arkansas. And we'll be packing up the rest of our things and be heading that way. And so we are, you know, we just feel so privileged to be at this point, finishing up deputation and seeing light at the end of the tunnel. And really, just reminded so much that, you know, it's nothing of ourselves, but, you know, it's just the grace of God. Amen. And so we're thankful. Thank you for allowing us to be here this morning, and for the nice missions apartment that's there, and just making us feel right at home. And as we were yesterday, as we were heading down, we drove over the river there from Indiana into Kentucky, that was there into Louisville, and the first thing we saw was the sign for Kentucky Fried Chicken, and so I just immediately felt right at home. If you folks can produce chicken like that, then there's got to be a lot more good stuff. Amen. And the only other thing that really I'm familiar with is from Kentucky is the Kentucky bluegrass. My granddad was from the Chicago area, and he pastored in Indiana early in his ministry for a couple of years, and he fell in love with Kentucky bluegrass. And so he moved to California, and he pastored there for over 25 years, and you know, he loved that type of grass so much that he planted that grass in his front yard. He basically scraped all of his yard off, put down fresh dirt that was there, and then laid that Kentucky blue sod, and it didn't take, but probably for goodness, I would say three times that I can recall in my life, he repeated that process, and I'm sure there was a few more before that. He just never could get that to take off, but he loved it. And so those are the experiences I have with Kentucky. But again, we are glad to be here this morning and to be in the Lord's house. Last night, the pastor had us over for supper. Thank you for your graciousness and hosting us that way. And then as we were driving back to the church yesterday evening, and we were coming up the hill here, we saw the front of the building that was there and the lights on it. And immediately I was reminded of that verse that says, you know, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Amen. And praise the Lord. You folks have a beautiful property that's here. And then as your pastor was kind of giving me some history that's there, I thought, you know, praise the Lord for some people that, you know what, are just going to stick by the stuff and keep plugging away. Even, you know, in a small town that's here, boy, there's still a representation of the gospel that's there and still a gospel witness in this community. And boy, I'm thankful for that. As so many churches are closing their doors, and you know, all over the states, and you know, with so much turmoil in places like California that are facing opposition that are there, praise the Lord that there's still parts of our country where we can meet and to preach freely without fear of reprisal and without fear that's there. And, you know, I just thank the Lord for that. So as we get started this morning, we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we'll read verse 3, and then I'll pray, and we'll get right into the message this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. It says this, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much, Lord, for Your goodness and Your grace to us this morning. Lord, we thank You, Lord, that we have the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, that by Your mercy, Lord, we saw the light. It shined into our hearts, God, and it took root, Lord, and produced fruit unto everlasting life. Thank You that we have the Holy Spirit, Lord, that confirms these things, and Lord, that we can be called Your children. I pray that, God, that You would just help us in these brief few moments, Lord, that You'd arrest our attention, and God, that You would speak, Lord, through Your Word and by Your Holy Spirit, God, that it might, Lord, affect change, Lord, whether we need to be challenged, Lord, whether we need to be encouraged, God, whether we need to comforted, Lord, You know all the needs that are present this morning. But God, I pray that Your Spirit would have free course. God, that You would just be with my mouth, Lord, and that You would give me clarity of thought and of speech. And God, that most importantly, Lord, that You would be exalted, and Lord, that You might be glorified. Help us now, Lord. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen and amen. I want to preach to you this morning a message. Really, if I were going to put a title to it, The Gospel That We Have. The Gospel That We Have. And do you realize this morning that the gospel that Paul said in the book of Romans chapter 1, I believe verse 16, he said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation." And, you know, so Paul, he said it was the power. And really that Greek word is dunamis, or dynamite power. In other words, the gospel has the ability to radically rearrange, people's lives. Amen. Just like dynamite radically rearranges, you know, what the environment in which it's placed when it's used. You know what, the gospel has that same rearranging power in our lives. And Paul, everywhere he went, you know, the only thing that he was concerned about was the gospel of Jesus Christ. That was the one driving impetus in his life. It was the thing that consumed him, was about getting the gospel of Jesus to those around him. And you say, why is it so important? Because, you know, really, the gospel is the Great Commission. We understand that. And the Great Commission is the definition of world missions. That is why the church exists. The church exists to preach the gospel, and by preaching the gospel, you know what, there in turn necessitates the need for church planting. Why? Because the church is the pillar and the ground of truth. And if there's not a church that's there that's preaching the gospel, then in any given community, in any given place, there's not a pillar and a ground for truth. And there has never been a need more so than now, than when our nation as a whole and our communities, you know what, need a place that is the pillar and the ground of truth. And so Paul's motivation, his whole life was geared around the gospel. It is what, he cared about the most that was there. Can I ask you this morning? What drives your life? What drives and motivates you? What drives and motivates me? You know what? And if we were to be honest this morning, you know what? If we're not careful, many a times we're guilty of having other things beside the gospel driving and motivating and giving the direction for our lives. But you know what? If we're going to look at it from a biblical perspective, the main focus for our lives ought to be the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because it's the power of God unto salvation. It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so it's so important that's there. And from the Great Commission, you know what? The Great Commission is stated in the book of Matthew. In the book of Matthew, we see the method, if you will, of the Great Commission. He says, Jesus Christ said, Matthew 28, verse 19, he says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I have commanded you." And so he gives us really the method of the Great Commission. He says, hey, it's evangelizing, it's baptizing, and it's discipling that's there. And so I was so encouraged from your pastor's testimony that you folks, despite the pandemic and the things that were there, you still continued with the VBS, and to hear of a young lady that recently got saved. And then, you know, what happens? That's evangelizing, isn't it? And then what do we do after there's been some understanding that's there? And you know what? Then they'll be baptized. Amen. Why? And that's to identify with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's an outward profession, amen, of the inward belief that a person has that's there. And it's the first mandate, if you will, that Jesus gave us after a person is saved. It's not in order that we are to be saved, but after we are saved, it identifies us that we're in Jesus Christ that's there. And then the discipling, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I have commanded. And so in the book of Mark, then we have, if you will, the measure. And you say, what's the measure about it? He said, go ye into all the world. And so we get the scope or the measure that, you know what? Hey, the Great Commission is to extend all the world. In every age, the gospel is to be preached around the world. And it's the responsibility of the church. You think about that. That God didn't give that responsibility, amen, to a corporation. He didn't give it that responsibility, you know what, to the angels that were there. You think about of all the resources that God has in heaven. And you know, the fact that He chooses to use us. What a privilege. What an opportunity. What a responsibility. And then if you will, the book of Luke that's there, we see the message that's there. And then John gives us really the motive. Why are we to go and take the gospel? It's the love of God that motivates us, amen, to take the gospel. And then we see in the book of Acts, really, the moving of the gospel as it first begins in Acts in Jerusalem and then spreads to Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world. We see that the movement of the gospel and the fact that, you know what, the gospel is the power of God. You know what, is a testimony to the fact that we are here today. Because, you know what, God commanded, what God sent forth, you know what, hey, it's been accomplishing what He sent it to do. And so the gospel is propagating that's there. But can you think about this, that in each generation, we're one generation away from being without a gospel witness. Why? Because you know what? If we're not faithful to disciple, if we're not faithful to pass down the teaching, you know what, of the Bible, and we're not faithful to train up our children and train up the next generation and to put the emphasis on the gospel, then friends, hey, we're very quickly, you know what, going to be one generation away from people that know not God and a generation that knows not God. And can I say this, that today, you know what, in our nation, we are fast approaching, you know what, that place. And you say, well, what's the big deal? Well, the big deal is that, you know what, hey, if we don't get the job done, then you know what, hey, there's going to come persecution, there's going to come trial, there's going to come opposition. And it's not that everybody hears, it's not that everybody gets saved, but there ought to be a place, you know what, and there ought not to be said of our generation that we didn't have a voice that preached and proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ. So important that's there. But I want to pull out really three things from this passage about the gospel. Three things about the gospel. The gospel is one that we have. It's ours. Notice what it says. He said in verse 3, if our gospel, personal, that's there. He said, you know what? Hey, it's ours. We have it. It's a gospel that we have. Number 2, it's a gospel that's hidden. Notice what it says. If it be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Now let's just use some logic. If there's lost people that exist, it means that the gospel is hidden. Are we okay? I think that's pretty simple. Sometimes I have to have things pretty simple, amen, to understand them. And that's pretty simple to me. The fact that there's lost people means that, hey, the gospel is being hidden. Are we all right? And number 3, it's a gospel that can be hindered. It's a gospel that can be hindered. So those three things I want to look at this morning as we expound this passage about the gospel that's there. Number 1, it's the gospel that we have. Notice what Paul said. He said in verse 1, we'll pick up and we'll read down to verse 3. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. What was this ministry that Paul was referring to? If you'll jump back over to the previous chapter, it says here in verse 3, verse 6, excuse me, of chapter 3, it says this, Paul was speaking, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And so, you know what Paul was saying? Hey, God's the one that made us ministers. God was the one that put this in our heart. God was the one that initiated the gospel that is there. And the reason that you and I have the gospel is because, you know what? The gospel, you know what, took root in somebody else's heart. And God initiated, you know what, and through the gospel and the Holy Spirit, you know what, for them, you know what, to take it and in turn pass it on to somebody else. You see, within the seed of the gospel is the propagation of itself. Isn't that wonderful? Just like, you know what, an apple tree. The fruit of an apple tree is an apple. And within the apple, it has a seed to what? Produce another of its kind. Amen. And so you look at different things wherever they are throughout God's creation. He gave them the ability to, if you will, procreate and reproduce. That's there. And within the seed of the gospel is the power, amen, to procreate and to reproduce. And so Paul said, hey, it's our gospel. It's not, hey, it went from the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. He said, but you know what? Hey, there was a point in time where the gospel, when it came to me, it took root and produced fruit. And so no longer is it Christ's gospel. Amen. But it's my gospel now. Why? Because the life that I now live, you know what? I don't live in the flesh, but I live by the faith of the Son of God. And hey, it's because why? Because He died for me, boy. And so you know what? You see that. The Bible says that, you know what, Jesus Christ was, that He died, you know what, why? So that He could be the firstborn among many. In other words, hey, He saw this thing going a long way down the line, amen? And when He was on the cross, boy, you and I were on His mind. And so Paul said, hey, it's mine, I have it, it's ours. Can I ask you this morning? It's something that, you know what, I've also been asked people in a different way. You know what, some of us have received the message, but I wonder how many of if the message, you say, yeah, we got all the message. I wonder how many of us or how much of us did the message get? If that makes sense. In other words, you know what? Hey, you say, yeah, I've got the gospel, but did it get all of you? Huh? It got all of Paul. It got all over him. Amen. In so much that he said, you know what? Hey, if I be if I'm beside myself, it is toward God. You know what? In other words, he was saying to be beside yourself is another way of saying that, you know what? You're crazy. And Paul said, you know what? I'm so crazy about God. You don't even understand it. You know, he said, you know what? I'm so crazy about God that if you really knew how far I was on God, it would just make you uncomfortable. Now, I've been around some what I believe to be crazy people, and you know what? Sometimes it does make you uncomfortable. Paul was wide open. He was wide out. There was no reservation in his life. And he said, you know what? Hey, the gospel got in me, and you know what? And it got all over me, amen? And you know what? Then his life was just an outpouring of what the gospel had done. It radically rearranged his life. He went from being a Pharisee of the Pharisees, you know what, and persecuting the church, to preaching the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, how did that happen? It was the power of God unto salvation. It was the power of God. And so he said, you know what? It's ours. And so we want to look at the fact that it was in his hand. Notice what it said in 2 Corinthians 9 and 17. He said, you know what? He said the gospel was committed unto him. He said it was committed unto him. He said in verse 17 of chapter 9, for if I do this thing willingly, notice what he says in verse 16, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. But he says this, for if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. He said, you know what? For the time in which God placed me in and where he put me at, he said, you know what? Hey, there's been something that's committed to me. He said, it's mine. I've taken it personally. And so he said, you know what? Hey, it's in my hand. Notice this, that it's the gospel. You say, where is it? Where is the gospel? If it's ours. Notice it says this in verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of ourselves. What do you mean by that? It says, hey, it's the gospel that's in our heart. It's in our heart. You know what? And there's something about the gospel that when it gets down into your heart, you know what? Hey, it has the ability to take root and produce fruit. And not only was it in the heart, but you know what? It's in the hand. It's in the hand. He said, you know what? That's why he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he said, there's a dispensation committed unto me. He said, in other words, hey, the responsibility, the baton, if you will, has been placed in my hand. And you know what? I have the responsibility of passing it on to the next generation, the next generation, the next generation. You know what? And I have a responsibility to, you know what? Sow that seed and spread the gospel everywhere I go. Why? Because it was placed in my hand. You and I have the gospel. Why? Because somebody else took the responsibility seriously enough, you know what, to put it into our hand. So not only is it one that we have in our heart, but it's one that we have in our hand that's there. It's ours. And notice the ability of the gospel. The ability of the gospel is the gospel of really conviction that's there. It's conviction that's there. He says this, he says in verse 2, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. He said, Paul, he was telling the Corinthians, he says, that's not what I've done. He said, but by manifestation of the truth. In other words, you know what, I've lived the gospel out in such a way, you know what, that it was made known. That I lived the truth out in my life. And notice what he said, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Paul was saying that he lived in such a way, in such a transparent way before men that, you know what, he was like, if you will, a written testimony or a written epistle, you know what, to the hearts and lives of the men and women that he came in contact with every day. He said, you know what, Paul was saying that, you know what, I was such a picture, I was such a written epistle
not in tables of stone, but in the previous chapter, he says fleshly tables of the heart. He was telling the Corinthians that, you know what, that they were his epistle, not written in stone, but written in fleshly tables of the heart. In other words, that the word of God was written on their heart as he passed down the gospel to them. And as they received them, you know what, then the gospel was lived out in their lives. And Paul was saying, he said, I've lived that way among all men. Why? So that, you know what, hey, isn't that what Jesus said? Let them see your good works that they may glorify your Father which is in heaven. In other words, we're supposed to live in such a way, the gospel is supposed to so radically rearrange our lives that, you know what, hey, if somebody weren't able to pick up this book right here, that they could look at your life and my life and, you know what, hey, they could see the word of God lived out. That was the testimony that he had. It was, you know what, the conviction of the gospel that was there. And so Paul was saying, hey, you know what, sometimes it gets uncomfortable. Sometimes, why? Because we're not to be like the lost world, you and I. There ought to be a difference. There ought to be a separation that's there. There ought to be, you know what, a standard that's held high. Why? Because it's the gospel of God. It's a gospel of conviction. It's a gospel that brings contrition. When you and I, you know what, receive the gospel, then we understand that, hey, in and of ourselves, we can't live out, amen, the law, all that it required. The Bible, he would say in the previous chapter, he said, for the letter, you know what, is death, but the spirit is life. And so he's saying, hey, we didn't have any way to do it, but the gospel, all it does is points us to Jesus Christ. It points us to Jesus Christ, and we, looking at it, understand that, hey, in and of ourselves, we can't live up to the measure of the glory of God. It's only in the person of Jesus Christ, amen. And it's one that is of a gospel of conversion. In other words, it produces change. It produces change. You don't have to worry about it. You and I don't have to, you know what, drum up some plan. We don't have to drum up, if you will, some resource. We don't have to have, you know what, all programs or whatever it is. We just simply have to exalt Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, if I be lifted up, you know what, I will draw all men unto me. It's not our power. Paul would tell them, you know what, the sufficiency is not of himself, but it's of God. And you know what, all we have to do is proclaim the gospel. Boy, the message that he's given us, and it has all the power, it has the capability to reproduce and to perform and to change and to convict and to convert. That's there. And Paul said, you know what, hey, the gospel, it's in our heart and it's in our hands, it's ours. That's there. But number two, he says this, it's one that is hid, because he said it's hid to them that are lost. He said in verse 4, in whom the God of this world, who's that speaking of? Satan. It says, in whom the God of this world, Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And he said, you know what? Hey, our gospel is hid. It's hid by the God of this world. It's hid by society or its system that's there. You realize that, you know what? Hey, we're living in such a day and such a time where, you know what? We have a myriad of distractions all around us. And you know what? Everything clamors for our attention. And you know what? It's designed that way. Why? Lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. Lest it should shine out. But the third thing that hides the gospel is the silence of the saints. Friend, you and I have a responsibility, and when we don't preach and proclaim the name of Jesus Christ, when it's not ready in our tongue, you know what, when it's not burning in our heart, you know, when it's not going forth that's there, you know what, our silence, you know what, hides the gospel that's there. Paul said, you know what, I don't want any part of that. There's already enough that hides the gospel. There's already enough that obscures the gospel. There's already those that try to seek to pervert the gospel that's there. I don't want to add to that. He said, but it's hidden that's there. Number three, the gospel is one that can be hidden. Notice what Paul says in verse 5. He says, for we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. Why did he say, for we preach not ourselves? And I say, he said, we preach not ourselves. He said, because there were others that were out there preaching and trying to draw away from Jesus Christ. There were everywhere that Paul went, you know what, there was Jewish opposition and persecution that followed him to try to detract and deter people from putting their faith alone in Jesus Christ. There was, the Pharisees, those that would want to mix the law with grace and say that, hey, it's a measure of works plus faith maybe in Jesus Christ, so that, you know what, hey, the faith wouldn't solely be placed in Jesus. The ministry of Paul was continuously tight, and he said this, for we preach not ourselves. And so, in other words, there were others that were, you know what, preaching another gospel that was there. And he even warned, if there be any other that preach any other gospel, he said, hey, don't receive them. Don't receive them. And so he was warning them and telling them that, hey, the gospel can be hindered. He said, we preach not ourselves. Why? Because there were those that did. Notice what it says, 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 17. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God we speak in Christ. And then again, this verse in chapter 4 of verse 2. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. He said, you know what? Hey, our ministry has been in such a way where, you know what? Our whole goal, our whole aim, our whole drive is to promote the gospel and to point others to Jesus Christ. Why? Because, hey, if we get sidetracked, the gospel can be hindered. Two ways that it can be hindered. Number one, when we lose our focus. When we lose our focus. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, that, you know what? Without the vision, the people perish. And when we lose our vision and when we lose our focus, you know what? From the emphasis that is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, then we hinder the gospel. When, you know what, church becomes more about us than and our comfort and our programs and our needs than it does about a lost and dying world, we lose our focus. When church becomes, you know what, more of a social time instead of, you know what, an interest into the eternal destination of the souls of men, we lose our focus. And Paul says, hey, that's going to hinder the gospel that's there. And he said, you know what? Hey, I've got one thing we preach, and it's Jesus Christ. One thing. What a simple message. What a simple, hey, you know what? I like simple. Amen. Why? It works. It works. We don't need another plan. We don't need another program. We have everything that we need, and God's given us. He's given us the Word of God and the Spirit of God and the ability, you know what, to pray and to get answers to prayer. And you know what? But the sad thing is, for so long now in our country, you know what? We've heard a message of peace and prosperity gospel that says, you know what? Hey, you can have all you want, and you know what? And have all the benefits without all the responsibility. And you know what? The church has bought into that, and you know what? And we've suffered. And we've suffered. There is no, you know what? You can't have the benefit without having responsibility. And why? Because it costs something. It costs something. If it costs the blood of Jesus Christ, God's dear Son, you know what, to initiate the gospel, don't you think it's going to cost us something in this day, in our time, for the church to perpetuate the gospel? You better believe it. You better believe it. I've said this and I'll say it again. This life is too short and eternity is too long not to live the way that God intended us to. Friend, we have a job. And we have, what's the reason? What's the reason? When we lose our focus on the reason for why we're doing what we're doing, the gospel is hindered. Number two, not only is the gospel hindered when we lose our focus, but the gospel is hindered when we withhold our funds. Friend, it costs something. It costs something. Not only is it going to, you know what, not even monetarily speaking, but you know what, the person that brought you the gospel, it cost them their time. And it cost them their effort, and no doubt it cost them prayers, and no doubt it cost them cheers. And friend, we've gotten away from a time where altars were full and people wept, you know what, at the thought of a daddy and a mama and maybe a grandma or a husband or a wife or maybe a child that was lost and on their way to hell. And you know what, we've shied away from that, and you know what, we've lost the power that we once had. And if there's ever a day and a time when we need a revival in the heart of the church of God and realizing that we have a reason, then we have a responsibility to what we've been to what's been placed in our hand, that day is today. Can I confess to you that, you know what, as I read through this and I prepared this, and even as I'm preaching, the Holy Spirit has been convicting my heart and saying, you know what? Oftentimes I've done much to hinder the gospel and not to help it. You see, the gospel, it's the power of God. Paul would describe it in the previous chapter as a gospel that excels in glory. He would say in these first few verses of chapter 3 that it's a gospel that exposes, that's there, the lost condition. But not only that, it's a gospel that must be extended. And friend, if we don't realize our responsibility and run the race that God set before us, then we're going to miss it. We're going to hinder the gospel. What a convicting thought. But not only this, is it hindered when we lose focus of our reason and our responsibility. It's hindered because we lose focus of our reward. Think about this now. Paul said this in verse 15. He's reminding these in these latter verses about the truth of laying your life down, about living full out for the gospel. He says in verse 12, "So then death worketh in us, but life in you. For we having the same spirit of faith," he said, you know what? The gospel took root. It produced faith in our life. And notice what he says, "According as it is written, I believe and therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak." He said there's something about it when the gospel gets in you. You know what? And faith takes root. You just can't help but speak it. You can't help but share it. Why? Because that's the power of the gospel. It's what it does. And he says, knowing. Now here's the truth. "That he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us also by Jesus and shall present us with you." He said, hey, the truth of the resurrection that's there. "For all these things are for your sake, that the abundant grace through the thanksgiving of many might redound to the glory of God." What's the reward? That one day, you know what? God's going to get all the glory. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. That one day Jesus Christ will get all the glory. And friend, read the last book. He accomplishes what he set out to do. It's going to happen. Amen. Pastor, as we were talking last night about prophecy and just the fact that, you know what, the fact that the Bible has been true and prophecy has been true throughout all the ages, you know what, ought to give us a greater confidence that God is true to His Word. And friend, if it's in this book, hey, it's going to happen. If it hasn't happened, and one day every tongue will bow and every knee will confess, you know what, to the glory of God the Father, that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's going to happen. The only difference is whether or not you and I are going to take part in it. That's it. Hey, there's a reward to gain. And there's a hell to shun. And Paul was saying this in these last verses. In verse 17, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." What's he saying? If we'll just let the gospel get all over us and we'll get all in for God, he's saying one day it'll be worth it. It'll be worth it. It'll be worth it.
It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrows will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Till we see Christ. It's a gospel we have. It's a gospel that's hid. And friend, it's a gospel that can be hindered or helped. I want to be on the helping side. Amen. How about you? How about you? As I look at all the things that are going on in our world and how distracted we're so capable of being, you know what we really need? It's just to refocus and get back to making the main thing the main thing. And it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Can I say this before we get into the presentation this morning? Thank you so much for your graciousness and your attentiveness. But maybe the Lord's spoken to your heart like He's spoken to my heart. You know what a preacher once told me? He said, really an invitation is just a time where you talk to God about what He's talked to you about. Maybe it's not right now, but maybe it's later this afternoon, or you get some still and quiet time. And you just talk to the Lord whatever He's talked to you about. And sometimes what God's talked to me about, I've just had to say, you know what, Lord, You're right. And I'm wrong, and I'm sorry. And God, would You help me? But praise the Lord, you know what, as we mentioned earlier this morning, His mercies are new every morning. And I'm just amazed that God would see fit and be so gracious to let me have any part in serving Him. And we get our priority right, and we get our focus right, and realize that not only is it our responsibility, but it's our privilege to serve Him. And we realize that one day it'll be worth it all. You know what? No cost is too great. And serving Jesus isn't serving Jesus. It's just a joy. It's just a joy. Maybe if you're lost this morning, you don't know what about the light of the glorious gospel. Maybe the gospel's never shone into your heart. It's never radically rearranged your life. You've never seen Jesus as being precious and the person you needed to save your lost soul. If you're like that this morning, can I say this? God loves you. He sent His Son to die for you. And there's a church right here in this community that I believe it's their emphasis in their heart to lift up Christ, that He might draw you unto Himself. See, I don't know what it means to be saved. I guarantee you this pastor, somebody in this church, would love to take an opportunity and show you how you can know that you're going to spend eternity in heaven one day. If you're like that, don't leave the same way you came. Let the gospel take root and produce fruit. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much.